Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Broadway Babies Holiday Spectacular. I'm Noelle Hannibal.
I'm Stephanie Anderson.
We are here today to talk with you about all of the amazing holiday content that we have seen streaming this holiday season. There has been so much, from Broadway performances to film versions of things, and we want to talk about all of it with you, tell you what we loved, tell you what we didn't love, and tell you where you can watch it.
Exactly. So we're gonna, I'm just gonna jump right off into the land of Jingle Jangle.
Oh, yes.
I literally burst out in tears at the end when the credits were rolling. That movie was so wonderful. Everyone in that show, everyone in the movie was spectacular. Like, it's going to be one of those movies that you're going to want to watch every year. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorites to watch every year is Miracle on 34th Street. That is like my jam. Not the newer one, but the original with Natalie Wood.
Yeah.
And for me, it's not, Christmas doesn't really start unless a few things happen, as far as I'm concerned, for me. One, I must hear Johnny Mathis sing some sort of Christmas song. That has to happen.
I have the Christmas album on vinyl.
Listen, it does not begin unless I hear Mr. Mathis sing something Christmassy. Two is watching Miracle on 34th Street. Three, of course, Mimi. She will always be a part of that. always be a part of that. It's funny. Anyway, L for L. Anyway, so this movie I'm going to put in that category as well. Mm-hmm. It's such a joyful, wonderful, festive movie, even though it doesn't really talk too much about Christmas. Like, it is a Christmassy movie, but it's not. Do you know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, they don't, I don't think they even, I mean, they don't talk about Santa Claus, they don't talk about any of that, but it's just the magic and the joy and the feeling of the season and having faith in people and in yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what this season is about too, is joy and finding your light and shining your light and all of that. And that's what that movie is to me. So it's going to be in my pantheon of Christmas starts when, you know, I take all these things out. It was wonderful.
It really was. And I mean, who knew Forrest Whitaker in a musical? I mean, come on. I was like, oh, he's not going to sing. Oh, yes,
he
is.
Oh, he's going to sing.
And can we just talk for a minute? Because we will talk a little bit later about the prom. Mm-hmm. But can I just say, can we cast Keegan-Michael Key in every musical, every movie musical? Can we put him on Broadway? Can we put him on every television show, every news channel?
Okay.
Like, Keegan,
right.
I mean, I remember watching The Planet's Funniest Animals or whatever, like on Animal Planet. That was the first thing
yeah.
I saw him on. He was the host of, like, the video thing of, you know, the America's Funniest Animals or Planet's Funniest Animals, and I loved him. And then, of course, Key and Peele, and so, you know, we just knew him as, like, comedian and sketch comedy. And this year, to have him in not one but two movie musicals, and he's absolutely phenomenal in both of them.
Right.
I adore him so much, and
right. Well, I'm hoping that people who've seen both movies really kind of pay attention, because, like you said, once Broadway comes back and everything's opened up, he better be in a show, if not two.
Absolutely.
I don't know if you can do two at a time or 8 shows a week, but
or can we get Jen Tepper to do a 54 Below tribute to Jingle Jangle and have Keegan Michael Key there, because I want to see him
exactly. Oh yeah, and then Anika Nani Rose is in that too, so she's just like everything. I just absolutely adore her. And she was phenomenal in that. Broadway, we need to see more of her on Broadway as well.
I did want more of her in Jingle Jangle. You know, I really did want, I wanted more.
Right.
And here
we did get a song.
We did get a song, and here's hoping that when they do the new Princess and Frog thing that they're doing, that it's her and not somebody else.
I think she's attached to it, because I saw a tweet about that. So she is attached to that, thankfully.
Good.
Now, hopefully she won't be a frog the whole damn time.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Jingle Jangle, really, it is. It's a great film for the whole family. It's a great way to introduce your kids to movie musicals. The story is just magical. It's beautiful, it's heartwarming. I loved it. And just as a little disclaimer for all of you who are listening, all of the stuff that we're talking about today, we're not paid to do this. We have not been approached by Netflix or NBC or any of the places that streamed the stuff we're talking about. We're just talking about it because we love it and we want to share it with you.
Exactly. And then can we talk about Madeline Mills, who is the little girl who's the lead in Jingle Jangle?
Yes.
Come on!
Yes. Absolutely.
Magical.
Yeah.
Magical.
Just so expressive, and just I want to go watch it again today. I think
I'm going to watch it again today too. But she's my heart just like, you know, like in the Grinch Who Stole Christmas, it just grew like 3 times the size. Like, it just so good. And then to see Felicia Rashad in it, and then the costumes. The costumes.
Yeah.
And the wigs.
I was just gonna say, can we talk about the wigs? Can we talk about that? This is a film, this is a very like Dickens-y sort of Victorian, set in the Victorian era, with the wigs, the authentic.
The Pan-African.
The Pan-African, yes, the wigs were just fantastic. The costumes.
Oh my goodness.
It just everything about, Ricky Martin. Oh my God.
Who knew?
So funny. I would love to see video clips of him in the recording booth doing that. I hope something like that comes out, because you can tell that he's like, his whole body is, he's doing this. I loved it.
Yeah, I just really enjoyed. It's just so good.
It was great. So Jingle Jangle, you can watch on Netflix.
Yes, highly recommend. Is that the other movie that I wanted to talk about, which was Dolly Parton's Christmas in the Square? Debbie directed that.
Oh, she did.
Yeah, and her daughter's in that, Vivian.
Okay, well, let's talk about that then. I have not seen that one yet. So Steph has seen that, and she's going to tell us all about it.
Recommended. Well, actually, my friend Deanna, shout out to Deanna, recommended that one for me, because she knows how I am about musicals. She's pretty much the same way. So she's like, girl, you need to see Dolly Parton's new Christmas movie. I was like, really? I have to say this on the low, and people are probably gonna, I'm probably gonna get a lot of crap about this, but I am not a really big like Hallmark movie person. Like, I don't do those. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason why is that I don't see myself represented in those. So to me, it's like, not really interested. But And because it was the way I saw, I was looking at them, the clip, I was like, oh, this is kind of looking like a Hallmark movie and I'm not feeling this. She's like, no, you're going to like it. You're going to like it. I was like, fine. So I did watch it. So glad I watched it because it was directed by Debbie Allen. And I'm like, this is on point. Okay, so you know there's a lot of dancing in it.
Yeah.
A lot of huge numbers, which was great. And then it has Christine Baranski. You can't go wrong with Christine Baranski.
You really can't. You really can't.
You can't go wrong. And then Treat Williams is in it as well, which is great. And of course, Dolly is in it too. And it just turned out to be a really wonderful, just a well-written movie. It was so good. It was, I mean, you have familiar characters in it, like a familiar storyline, but what was done with the storyline, it's a different take that works.
Okay.
So it's kind of like Scrooge, but not really. It has like a Christmas Carol kind of feel to it, but definitely worth watching. And music's good. And again, Dolly.
Dolly's
in it. And her,
you can't go wrong with Dolly. She's amazing.
And she's super sassy in this, so I'm like, yes, give me sassy Dolly.
I love her.
Yes. She's wonderful in it. And just make sure you have tissues with you because you will. You might well up. You might think that you're cutting onions, but it really is. It's me cutting onions in here. But yeah, it's really good. I highly recommend it. That one's on Netflix as well. I believe it's called Dolly Parton's Christmas in the Square. Yeah, Christmas on the Square. Christmas on the Square.
On the Square. Okay, good.
Yes. And that's a Netflix one.
Netflix.
And
okay.
Really quick.
Yeah.
So for those of you who know me really well, you know that I'm a huge Barbie fan. Always have been, always will be. Barbie and I go way back to like 1969. So
Barbie,
we've been tight for years.
Beautiful.
Barbie's the girl. Love her.
I have the 45 of Barbie, You're Beautiful. I have that 45.
Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding.
Love her. That's my girl. So, you know, Barbie's had a lot of movies come out. And this one is an older one. I think it's this Barbie's Christmas Carol. Now, there's so many versions of Christmas Carol that have come out throughout the years. And I must say, this one and A Diva's Christmas Carol, we haven't talked about that one, but that one was Vanessa Williams. Girl, that one is so good. I don't even know where I could find that one, but I love that one. But Barbie, I have to say, whoever is on board with writing their scripts and writing the content for these movies, and even Barbie's Adventures in the Townhouse, it's actually better than you think it is.
Yeah.
Better than you think it's going to be, because even I, and I'm sorry I doubted you, Barbie, I thought this was going to be corny as hell, and it was not. It was really good. Another good take on the Christmas Carol story. So if you have, I don't know, where did I see that? I want to say Amazon. I mean, you can always Google it because it'll tell you where you can find it. But it's Barbie's Christmas Carol. It's an older one. So the animation is a little dated, but it's really dated. Like the story,
is it animated or is it like a claymation kind of thing?
No, it's like computer animated.
Okay, okay.
But it's like super dated. If you can look past that, because it's like in its beginning stages, and this is a few years old.
Okay.
I mean, this is like
right.
Beginning stages, but it's really good. It's really good.
I mean, if before we dive into the stuff that's come out this year and that people can watch this year, I just would love to share with you the movies for me that kick off the holiday season. First of all, let me just say that I never used to be a Hallmark person, but in the last, I'll say 4 years or so, I've become a Hallmark movie person. And I think, I think the reason is because it's the kind of thing that I can have on in the background.
Uh-huh.
I know I can depend on it to always have a happy ending. And I think that I watch a lot of like dark stuff as well. I like psychological thrillers and things. And this, it's like a balance for me. But for me, the holidays, there are three movies that I watch every single holiday season. Without fail, what I watch on actual Christmas Day with my Jewish mother is my favorite version of A Christmas Carol, which is Scrooge starring Albert Finney, which is the musical version.
Yes, yes.
Where they utilized, because it was filmed the year after Oliver, they actually utilized like Oliver sets, and you will recognize, and you'll recognize the dancing, and it's very Oliver-esque. But Scrooge is top of my list. It's a Wonderful Life is always on my list. Miracle on 34th Street, again, the original with Natalie Wood, always on my list. And I added a new one to my list last year, which is, and of course, not a musical, but musical-esque, in that the film Last Christmas starring Emilia Clarke and Henry Golding that came out last year took the music of George Michael and basically... that's the music in this film. It's all George Michael songs, and the film is called Last Christmas, and it's a really lovely, really really lovely film, and Emilia Clarke and Henry Golding are just so charming and wonderful. So look for those folks, because those are my favorites. Ooh. Another Netflix film that came out last week, which is not, again, it's not a Christmas film at all, but it is a musical film, and that's The Prom, directed by Ryan Murphy, which is the Broadway musical, a movie version of the Broadway musical The Prom, starring Meryl Streep, again Keegan-Michael Key, James Corden, Andrew Rannells, it's like unbelievable cast. Ariana DeBose. I wanted more Ariana DeBose. We'll get to see her again as Anita in West Side Story. Next December. But I did see the show on Broadway, and I loved it. And I felt that Ryan Murphy did a really great job translating that show into a film version. Oh. I loved it. I think I was smiling the whole time. I think I may have cried a few times. Meryl Streep's belt is getting better the older she gets. Like, right? Every time there's another film and she outdoes herself. And oh my gosh, I was just like, wait, let me just rewind that song again. It's a wonderful film. It's about inclusivity. The number with Andrew Rannells in the Northridge Shopping Center, because I was like, I recognize this mall. Why does it look so familiar?
No wonder.
Stephanie and I went to university down the street from that mall, Cal State University Northridge. I was like,
I used to work in that mall. I worked at the Disney store in that mall. I was like, why is this place so familiar?
I was dying laughing. I was laughing so hard. But Andrew Rannells, again, is somebody that I just love him in everything. I loved him in Book of Mormon. I loved him in Falsettos. He did a thing with Jimmy Fallon last week of a kind of tribute to 2020, but using musical theater songs. And at the end of it, he's saying, I believe, from Book of Mormon. It's on YouTube. And like, I'm sitting in front of my computer, like, crying because he's so great, and I want to see him back on Broadway again really soon as well. But I really loved The Prom. I thought it was really, really well done.
I enjoyed it. I didn't really take issue with James Corden in it too much. I would have preferred somebody who was actually gay to play that role, but I liked him in this better than I liked him in Into the Woods. But I also have my thing about these adaptations from stage to movies, how it doesn't really translate well. Mm-hmm. And don't get me started on Sweeney Todd. That's it.
Yeah, we're going to leave that alone. We can dedicate a whole episode to that, I think.
listen.
Yeah.
But I thought he was okay. Like, he wasn't, he didn't disturb me. Like, he's not like my cup of tea, but I wasn't like, oh, he's dreadful, horrible. I was like, not bad. Mm-hmm. Not bad. Nicole Kidman.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yes.
How adorable.
Yes.
She just was like,
right?
Oh, the
aging
aging chorus girl in Chicago, in the ensemble member.
She was amazing. She was so, I was like, girl, I feel you. And she was talking about how, just the whole,
The zazz.
And all the bossy stuff. I was like, yes.
Yeah, it was great. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Preach. Tell them. Yes, tell them how it is. I really liked her in this.
I did too.
I really did. And her moments with
Joellen Pelman as Emma. Mm-hmm.
Which I thought she was, I really liked her. Sunny disposition. She seemed like she had such a sunny disposition. That in some things, and some of it worked, but some of it didn't, because I wasn't understanding why she had such a sunny disposition in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was definitely, she was very smiley for sure. I looked at it as, well, it was a choice for a reason. I agree. There were times where I thought, would she be smiling in this moment? Yeah. Yeah.
But overall, I loved her. I thought she was adorable. You know who she reminds me of? She reminds me of Drew Barrymore. I kept looking at her going,
great voice. Really great voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really liked her.
And then.
Because I was just going to say probably what you're going to say. Kerry Washington.
Yes.
As the villain. Oh,
right.
She was great. I love her.
She was so good. Yes. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that. And I enjoyed her costumes because flawless.
Yeah, absolutely flawless. Yeah, I mean, there are so
and
many.
And so with Meryl's, though. Meryl's, her costume, too, was just like, can you just top that? Oh, you can top that. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you top that. Okay.
I see a lot of stuff going through my Twitter feed, kind of mostly positive, the things that I was seeing, but there are also some, you know, the negative things of any movie musical is always going to divide the musical theater community for some reason or another. And I used to kind of be in the class of, oh, it's not as good as the stage show, or, oh, that person's not as good as this person, or, you know, like when they would do the live musicals and, oh God, like Sound of Music Live, you know. And then it just, the person who really changed my viewpoint about it was Lance Roberts. And these people are all working their butts off, right? They're all working their butts off for us. And that we get to have musical content on a level like Netflix films, two Netflix films in the span of like 2 weeks that are movie musicals, is a win for the musical theater and Broadway community, no matter what anybody thinks of it or one particular actor or one particular. I just feel like the complaining about, oh, it was so much better on Broadway, or, oh, this person was so much better, I feel like and then it goes along with the cancel culture, like the James Corden thing. It's like, we're getting a musical version of a great show that didn't run long enough on Broadway, in my opinion. And I feel like sometimes it's okay to just sit back and appreciate the fact that we have this, you know? I'll get off my soapbox now. The kids are all gonna come at me.
Just enjoy it. It's not to go back there, but it's just like Sweeney Todd. Some people do not like the stage version that was filmed. They just don't like it. They prefer the one that was filmed, the Depp version. Mm-hmm. You, for me to argue with somebody else who likes the film version better doesn't make any, it's not going to, what's it going to solve?
Right.
That's their preference. I don't like it.
I don't like it either, but there are people that I know that
there are people in it that are fantastic.
100%. But there are people that I know that don't go to see live musicals that have only seen film versions and that love them. And for that, I'm appreciative of the fact that the film exists because it's exposing more people to musicals. So
at least they're seeing that.
Whether or not it's our preference or whatever, I think it's just the whole thing about going on social media and blasting it. It's like we can have a conversation about how, you know, we didn't like this particular thing or but when you go on like a Twitter rant about, you know, or a Facebook rant or a, you know, TikTok or Tumblr or whatever social media you're using, and you're a musical theater fan, I think that it's detrimental to the art form of musical theater and then, of course, movie musicals. I just don't think that it serves any purpose to bash something so, like, much as some people that I saw. I was like, I don't understand. Were we watching the same movie? You know, and of course it's subjective, but it's the nastiness that I really don't like. I think that there's a way to have a conversation about something that you don't like or something you don't appreciate without just being downright nasty.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the problem. Favorite moment for me, Unruly Heart. That broke me.
Yes.
That broke me.
Yeah.
And well, I'm just going to leave it at that because I don't know if everybody who is listening to this has seen it, but I recommend you watch The Prom, and when you get to Unruly Heart, you'll understand what I just said. Mm-hmm. That number just did not see that coming. That was great.
It's fantastic, and you know. Mm-hmm. There's so many people that are divisive about like Ryan Murphy and Glee and the things that Ryan Murphy loves musicals. Ryan Murphy loves musicals. And as long as he wants to keep bringing musicals to me, I'm going to receive them, whether I like them or not. I'm really happy that he loves musicals and that he loves Broadway. I mean, obviously we're not going to get into talking about his other stuff, but like The Boys in the Band, to bring a Broadway show with the original Broadway cast and translate it into a film for Netflix. Thank you, Ryan P. Murphy. You know?
Yeah. I really liked it. I knew what the show was about. I just hadn't seen it front to back. I mean, I've seen bits and pieces of it. I haven't seen the whole thing together. And it was actually, I've seen clips from the Broadway show, but it was lovely. I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another thing that came out this weekend that is running through December 15th, which is the day that this episode is going to be released. So you'll have until, I guess, midnight tonight to tune in on YouTube for free, is Who's Holiday starring Leslie Margarita. Now, if you've listened to our show, you know we had Leslie on, and you know that she was thrilled when I brought up this show to her, and we talked about how much she wished that there was a film version that she could see or that, you know, the people could see. And happy holidays to us. We got to see it. And for free on YouTube, they are raising money for Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS. So you can donate, but you can also watch it for free on YouTube. Who's Holiday? Leslie Margarita as a grown-up Cindy Lou Who living in a trailer. The idea of Cindy Lou Who
And her backstory
as described. It's a one-woman show of Cindy Lou expecting guests for a Christmas party, breaking the fourth wall, talking with the audience, just telling her story, I have not laughed so hard. I cannot remember the last time I laughed so hard. It's about an hour long. It's not a long thing. I was laughing. I was crying. She is so wonderful in everything. Everything. And this show is just no exception. I hope that it's the kind of thing that I would like to see every holiday season. You know, it's
Again,
so
I think
funny.
they might have to go in that little,
It should just
you
be
know.
something that they release every year for a few days. They can raise money for the charity. I would love to see it return to the stage. It was an off-Broadway production, and I would love to see Leslie do her thing live. The entire show is the script is like a Dr. Seuss book, so she is speaking in rhyme for the entire 60 minutes. The entire
God
60
bless
minutes,
you.
including some, I think, spontaneous rhyming. There are
Yes.
moments, and I mean, I'm gonna have to take the day off tomorrow so that I can rewatch some of these things that are, you know, this is ending tomorrow, and I feel like I'd like to watch it again and maybe share it with my mom. It's just, I can't rave enough about Leslie. You all know how much we love Leslie and what a
Yes.
great time we had with her on the show, but this just was beyond
She's a gift.
rubbish. She really
Leslie
is.
Margarita is a gift, I'm telling you. And just a word, just so you know, it is on the mature side of things. So this is
Yes.
not something that little ones should be watching.
Yes,
This
yes.
is for the adults. Let's just put it
Absolutely.
that way. This
Definitely
is.
explicit.
Yes. So you, I, this is not something that you want to share with your little ones.
Yeah.
But it's a hoot and a holler, and it's great if you, it's a great
It's
little.
a hoot and a holler.
Yes, it's a hoot.
Cindy Lou Hoot.
A hoot. Yeah. So definitely something that, you know, you. Get your glass of wine, sit back and relax and enjoy. Very, very good.
Absolutely.
Aunt Leslie Margarita, what a gift. Telling you.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so much great stuff really to watch this year, and I am sad that some of these things are either no longer available, or some of the stuff we're going to talk about a little later, or like this one, it's ending on the 15th, so you have limited time. I know some of the stuff they've extended, but if you have the chance today to watch Whose Holiday, like I said, it's only an hour, please do. Please do.
You will not regret
You will definitely will not regret it. Now, yes, there is a new Dr. Seuss's The Grinch musical live, which is an NBC production. I know that you can find it on peacocktv.com, which is NBC's new streaming service, and you can watch it for free. If you're in Canada like I am, just grab yourself a VPN, set it to the United States, and you'll be able to watch it. Don't tell anybody at Peacock or NBC that I
Don't
told
tell
you.
anybody
But
that.
it is a Grinch new musical version starring Matthew Morrison. I have not had the chance. Is it on Hulu?
I think it might be.
Yeah. It was on TV last week. I did not watch it. I do have it bookmarked to watch because of my sister's recommendation. It's really creepy, but you have to watch it. I have not had the
You
chance to
don't
watch
have to
it.
watch it.
I have not had the chance to watch
You
it
know why?
yet.
Boo Boo Stewart's in it, and I adore him.
Yeah.
Do you know who that is?
No.
Yeah, he's in that one. Oh, Boo Boo Stewart is a Disney actor. He did, oh, what was the name of those? It was a series with the villains, the kids of the Disney villains. Okay. Yeah, so Boo Boo Stewart's in The Grinch along with Matthew Morrison, and I love him. He was in The Descendants. He was Jafar's. He played Jafar's son in The Descendants. the franchise, and he's done, you know, several things for Disney. He's a, I want to say, former Disney kid. I think he was in Twilight, one of the Twilight movies as well.
Oh yes, I absolutely know who you're talking about. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now you know what I'm talking about.
Okay. I do.
Adore him.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's in that one. Okay. Yeah, I haven't seen that one either. I haven't seen that one either, so I'm going to probably watch that today, I think.
Yeah, it's one of the things I still have. Yesterday was like such a day with three events on that, and then Saturday I had watched Whose Holiday and The Prom, so maybe I'll get to see The Grinch today as well. But yeah, I mean, it wasn't top of my list simply because I absolutely love the Jim Carrey, Taylor Momsen version. And so it's like, oh, there's another Grinch. Oh, okay. You know, so it is something definitely that I will get around to watching because, you know, Matthew Morrison, yes, he was Mr. Shoe on Glee, but he comes from Broadway. And I'm curious to see what he does with the role.
It seems like there's more of a demand for more things to move into film or be filmed live. Mm-hmm. I love the aspect of live, things being filmed live. I love that aspect of it. Mm-hmm. I don't like movies, because there's some musical movies that I love. Like, I love Little Shop of Horrors. That was, like, so good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just musicals. Like, I can't get enough.
I mean, this weekend, getting to see all of this content, like the last 2 days, it's gone from like nothing at all to everything all at the same time. And I've been like hyper. It's the musicals. It's getting to see this stuff. It just poured energy into me and got me so excited because I miss it so much. I miss being on the stage, but more than anything, I miss being in an audience. I miss being in an audience with, you know, 50 to 3,000 other people having this collective experience of seeing this story unfold on stage. And there's no energy like being in the audience for a musical. There is nothing like it. There really isn't. And I miss it so much. Yeah, I miss it so much. So getting to see all of this stuff, even though it was at home, it's still, it just, with having not seen a lot of stuff over the last 9 months of this pandemic, it really gave me this like burst of energy that, you know, we're all feeling that kind of quarantine brain, quarantine fatigue, the time difference now with the, you know, standard time, it's getting dark at 4:30 PM. Seasonal affective disorder is a real thing, but this just really, really, okay, my mother is standing outside of my door as I'm recording my podcast, singing There's No Business Like Show Business as she walks to the bathroom.
Lovely. But is she lying, though? I mean, she's right.
She is right.
She's right.
She is right. So it really just, it gave me this boost that I feel like I really, really needed.
Yeah, it's getting that motivation. But you know what motivated me the most? One Night Only, The Best of Broadway.
Oh my gosh, yes, which was on NBC, which, can you believe, you're not going to believe this stuff. I forgot that it was on when it was on. I only remembered that it was on 10 minutes before the end, and I don't have like regular television. So I'm like on my Amazon Fire box trying to find the stream, and I saw the last 10 minutes, and then fortunately it went up on the Peacock network as well.
Yeah.
So I was able to watch the whole thing hosted by Tina Fey. There were, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 shows represented, 7 shows represented, actually, because of the Seasons of Love number. It was these shows performing numbers in front of their theater in New
York
City.
That's so heartbreaking. That broke my heart. I was like, they're outside of their theater.
They're outside, and you can see that it's raining and it's cold.
Right.
That is not stopping them. And I just, because I don't want to forget to really talk about Gina DeWall. Gina DeWall. Diana the Musical, which I believe it was Lance that told us that they actually have filmed it and they're going to release it on Netflix. It was set to open on Broadway this season, which it was unable to do because of COVID and because of the shutdown. But Gina DeWall as Diana is
wasn't that fantastic?
Perfection. I mean, I saw her in Carrie, the musical off Broadway. She played Chris. It's so completely different from her as Chris. And I just was like glued. Like I couldn't stop looking at her. The song was fantastic. Her voice is incredible. And when I first heard there was going to be a musical, Diana the Musical, I was like, okay. You know, okay. I don't know. I don't know. Like, Princess Diana, I don't know. But watching her sing this song got me so excited to see that show or the Netflix version, whatever it is that it's going to wind up being. So excited. And it's just because she is so captivating. She's just phenomenal. Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to see more. I just want to see more. And I actually, and I sat and watched with my mom. And my mom said to me, you know what I want to do? I just want to be able to go to New York and take a few days and see every show. I said, me too. When it comes back, I want to be able to take like 7 days or a couple of weeks and just, you know, every day go to a show. Like I might even go to a matinee and then go to one in the evening. I mean, I'm ready to see some live theater.
Absolutely. You know, I did that.
Rocking good time.
I think it was 3 years ago. I met a friend of mine that I know from high school that I hadn't seen since high school. And she said, I want to go to New York for my birthday. And do you want to meet me there? And I went for, it was the longest time I've ever gone to New York City for. It was 5 or 6 days. We saw a show every day. We saw matinee on the Wednesday matinee. We saw Dear Evan Hansen. Sob. It was really great that night we were seeing Anastasia, because after Dear Evan Hansen and for the time between Dear Evan Hansen and Anastasia, we were just like emotional messes.
Downtime.
So we went and saw Anastasia that night, which starred Derek Klena, who is also one of the stars of Jagged Little Pill, who also performed at One Night Only. And you know how I felt about that show. I was in New York City when Broadway shut down. Jagged Little Pill is the last Broadway show I saw on March 12th, the day before it shut down. I had gone in to see 4 shows in 48 hours. I got to see 2 shows. Derek texted me as we were driving into New York City. We were seeing Jagged Little Pill matinee. He texted me as we were driving into New York City to tell me that he had called out of the show the night before, and he was calling out that afternoon, and he was so sorry. So we didn't get to see him, which in retrospect was a good thing because it turned out that he had COVID. But I can say that show, I have not stopped thinking about that show, in particular Lauren Patton's performance in that show.
She was amazing on that.
I love her so much. I keep tweeting about her and like, she's a goddess. And I don't think I've ever seen a Broadway show where somebody who isn't like Broadway royalty gets a standing ovation in the middle of the show. And after Lauren sings You Oughta Know, it was a standing ovation for easily a minute and a half. That show just moved me. I had no idea going in. I hadn't listened to the cast recording on purpose. I try not
I
to if
haven't
I
listened to
can.
it either.
I didn't want to know anything about it before I went in, so I really didn't know anything about it. And that what they've done with what Diablo Cody has done with creating the story around that music is just incredible. It's so moving. The performances are just every single one of them. Every one of them. The ensemble, the dancing.
Oh, they rock.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
So
I can.
that was.
It looks like something that I would just die to go see. I have not seen it. I have not listened to the well, technically, I've listened to the cast album, but that's because, Atlantis. But
Atlanta,
I've not listened to,
right.
yeah, I haven't listened to the OBC. I haven't listened to the OBC version, which is kind of funny because when my mom and I were watching this together and Alanis pops up on the screen. I'm like, oh my God, she looks so good. And my mom's like, who is that? So funny story though. God bless her. In talking with her, I had to think about it because she was really amped to watch. She wants to see Ain't Too Proud to Beg. I mean, that is my mom's era. I mean, when she was a young adult, she was going to all these Motown reviews. She was going to see, the Supremes and the Temps, and I mean that's her era. So, I didn't. It didn't be. I didn't feel like she didn't know anything when I tried explaining who Alanis Morissette was. So it was just kind of funny that she was like, "Who is that?" I said, "Oh, well, Jagged Little Pill. Well, it's what they call a jukebox musical, which is, just like Ain't Too Proud to Beg is a jukebox musical. They, put all the songs of one particular artist usually, or sometimes more than one, and they put it together and they create a story around the songs." Oh, yes. So, and then I said, so Alanis had a huge hit with her album, Jagged Little Pill, and they took that album and made it into a story, and there you are. So anyway, I just, it's so funny how generation to generation things, how it's such a big deal to one, but it's like, I don't know if that is to the other. It's kind of
Right, right.
funny. But I like this. She's like, oh, I like her. I'm like, yeah, is she good?
Also, another show that was kind of represented, like that my mom loves, is Jersey Boys, which they opened the show. And Jersey Boys, I love the music. I didn't love the show. My mom absolutely loved it, but I think it's, maybe a generational thing.
I think it might be.
I just wasn't, I wasn't
Yeah, I
into
think it
it.
might be.
Yeah, loved the songs. It was fun seeing those numbers on the show. We also saw Mean Girls, a couple numbers from Mean Girls, and which is obviously
That is my jam right there.
Tina Fey is the ho was the host of this show, and Tina Fey is the show, the film and the show that she wrote. And Chicago, we saw
Love
represented
it.
as well, which is the longest running musical on Broadway.
Yes.
Crazy.
That's pretty impressive.
It is pretty impressive.
I love that show.
Yeah,
Love
so
that one
that was
too,
a
Chicago.
great, that was kind of the first of the live streams of that I watched. There are three more that I've watched since, but I didn't think it was gonna hit me as hard as it hit me, and it hit me hard, like that I can't go see these shows right now. I want to go see these shows, and they a lot of appearances by people who are in Broadway shows that were shut down, like Aaron Tveit, who you all know that I was in the lobby of the
Right.
Hirsch, I was in the lobby of the Hirschfeld when Broadway shut down, planning on seeing Moulin Rouge. So, seeing him talk about it and seeing Sutton Foster, who is my Broadway queen, it was great that they had a whole bunch of people from the Broadway community talking about Broadway and how this was affecting them and ways people can help. So it was, again, like an opportunity to see Broadway represented on network television in prime time.
You
It's
don't get to see that very
you don't get to
often.
see that very often. That is a big win. So yeah. But
Mean, you see
I
a
thought
lot of Broadway actors in TV shows, but you don't get to see them represented the way they were on that special. Like, Sutton has her own show, mm-hmm. you know, but for a lot of people, they don't know she, you know, she started out in theater, you know, it's, mm-hmm. it's funny, you know.
And we'll be back, and we'll be back next season in The Music Man with Hugh Jackman, which was set to open this season. And is now, I think it's February 2022, I think is
they're not going to be doing it. That's not going to happen this February, unfortunately. I'm hoping when Broadway comes back, you know, they'll be jam-packed with all these fantastic shows. I'm hoping some of them come back that have, you know, been kind of a staple on Broadway, actually. Mm-hmm. And then who knows what all the new shows are. I mean, I really wanted to see Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah, six.
I'm sad about that. Six! Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
Three of the girls in that were making their Broadway debut.
They were opening, their opening night was...
Opening night.
Was March 13th.
Shut.
Yeah. And so that's a hard one.
My heart goes out to them.
Absolutely. I mean, everybody in the Broadway community. I mean, they're talking about out of work, not getting their paycheck of, you know, a contract that they had for a year. Many people are losing their insurance. I can't I can't talk about Broadway Cares and the Actors Fund enough, because the Actors Fund is not just for actors, it's for anybody in entertainment, and that includes teachers. Anybody needs help paying their rent, getting medication, seeing a doctor, getting groceries. These organizations help them.
All of them.
And I love
paying their bills.
How these events, so many of these events, are fundraisers for organizations like that. This weekend, there were three special events that I watched. I want to say, I can't even say this weekend. Sunday night, there were three events in a row. Well, sort of. At 6 p.m., The Snowball, hosted by Lance Roberts, which our lovely Lance, who we love so much, which featured they're still child actors, or young adult actors, who were child actors on Broadway. So I think all of them, or most of them, were actors that Lance has actually worked with in a Broadway show. The show was part of Lance's Broadway's Calling show that he has on YouTube and Facebook on Sundays, which on Broadway's Calling, he interviews actors on when they got the call to be on Broadway. So his very first episode, he had Glenn Close, and last week's episode was Donna McKechnie from Chorus Line. The Snowball was benefiting Stockings with Care. Lance was collecting money and putting together stockings to donate. You can watch the stream on Broadway's Calling Facebook or YouTube channel, but it was all these amazing young Broadway stars doing holiday classics. And it was just so fun. And I love watching Lance host. He's talking with people who are watching, and we're chatting, you know, I'm sending comments it's a live, like, he's hosting this live, and I love watching Broadway's Calling every week, because Lance's energy is so infectious, and I love that he puts together these special events for us that are absolutely free to watch. I love it. I love him. The second thing that I watched last night, well, I watched the first half hour before switching to something else that was strictly live, because this is something that you can watch on demand, and it was a Jagged Little Pill concert. They assembled with all the CDC and SAG-AFTRA and all the things that are in place for COVID, assembled together on their stage to perform little bits, not the entirely the whole show, but in order, the songs from Jagged Little Pill. So it was the entire cast together on stage. I cried like three times watching it. The tickets for that are $30, but they're raising funds for RAIN, and you can stream it through the 17th. So if you didn't catch it Sunday night, you can still buy a ticket and you can stream it as many times as you want on demand until the 17th, which I'm probably going to do a gazillion times. And again, let me just say, Lauren Patton is a goddess. Her performance last night, Sunday night, was like beyond. It was just because they haven't been able to do the show for 9 months, and you can tell how important the show is to every single one of them. And they were like, they did a little bit of talking and they introduced themselves. They didn't do like full out choreo, but they had all of the ensemble were there, and there were moments where they did choreography, and it just was so passionate. It was such a passionate performance. The whole thing, like not just Lauren, everybody, Elizabeth Stanley, I saw her in Bridges of Madison County several years ago, and she plays Mary Jane in this, and just incredible. I highly, highly, highly recommend it. It is worth every penny of your $30 ticket to watch this concert. So that was the second thing I watched. I watched the first half hour before then switching to the Ham Fam Holiday Celebration. And the Ham Fam Holiday Celebration was history is happening in Georgia. It was a fundraiser for the Democratic Party in Georgia and for the runoff election for Reverend Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff, hosted by Sasha Hutchings and Jonathan Groff, and featuring the original Broadway cast of Hamilton doing holiday standards and holiday classics, and great like videos that they put together of all of them singing together. It was amazing. It started off with Elizabeth Warren speaking, and then we saw Cory Booker with Rosario Dawson, and then Reverend Warnock and John Ossoff were both there, and they spoke. And then there was a section where Sasha and Jonathan Groff interviewed these candidates and talked with them about a lot of stuff, and talked with them in particular in different themes in the musical and how it pertains to what's happening in the world today, because there is so much that's happening in the world today. Before the broadcast, they had raised over $2 million. And during the broadcast, they raised $500,000. You could watch the thing like tick up. John and Sasha together were absolutely hilarious. They taught a little bit of seated choreography. So Sasha was wearing her opening number ensemble, like a corset thing, and Groff Sauce was wearing his king cape and his King George hat. And then at one point they switched costumes and they taught the hand movements for the 10 dual commandments. They actually said, if we reach $250,000, we will teach the choreography seated number one. It was so funny. It was a one-time only stream. I really, really hope that they'll show this again, because my mom and I just had a ball watching it. And that was the thing that I was saying at the end. I was super hyper. At the end, they kept the numbers going up because they said they'll give a special treat if they reach 500,000, which was an encore performance from Leslie Odom Jr. But during that, while we were waiting for it to get up to 500,000, they were just running the original Broadway cast recording. And I was singing along for my mom. And I realized that I can't remember to buy milk, but I know every single lyric from Hamilton. And it's the only time in my life that I've ever been able to rap. So those were the three things. And then after that was over, because the Jagged Little Pill thing they were showing, they're letting us watch it on demand. Then I watched the rest of the Jagged Little Pill thing, of which I think I'm going to watch that again before the 17th, because, you know, it's like the one night only. it's great watching the stream stuff, and I'm really happy that we're able to pivot into doing that during this intermission and we're getting this content. But the One Night Only and the Jagged Little Pill concert, like seeing people actually like performing with their the movement and on a stage, and it just it was a different kind of experience. And I'm so grateful that we have all these things right now, that we've been given these things, even those that we have to buy a ticket. You know what? I'm not spending $150 for a Broadway ticket, so I will happily pay $33 to see Jagged Little Pill in concert, of which is a fundraiser on top of it all. It's not like they're just like, hey, we're going to, you know, we're just making this money for ourselves. They're, every single one of these things is a fundraiser. And I love that. And it's been, you can tell I'm hyper. Woo! It has just been.
Yeah, but it's been a while. It has been a hot minute.
And this weekend has just given me life. It has given me energy that I've needed. It has given me the passion and drive to do things, because I had kind of resigned myself to, well. You know, that, as I said, quarantine fatigue. And it kind of lit a fire under me and made me want to find ways to get back into that pivot for myself, because I'm the kind of person that I need it. I miss it. I need it. I got to find a way to do it. Getting to do this with you is just like an absolute joy and a lifeline for the last 9 months, because we just sit and talk about theater and we get to interview people that we admire and respect and adore and love, and who are respecting us right back, which is, you know, the nice the nice comments that people that we've never met before that they've had to say to us is just like, we're doing the right thing. We were meant to do this. I really think that we were meant to do this. We're meant to do this podcast, you and I together. And I'm really, really thankful for you and that we get to do this together. And we get to talk about what we love.
All the time.
All the
Yay.
Time.
And I am thankful for you. All the time.
All the time.
Theater. All the time. Bring me some theater.
Bring me some theater.
Yeah, I need Chinese food and theater. That.
Yes. That's all. And that is all.
That is it. Yes.
This has been so much fun, Steph, talking with you about all of this great stuff that's been going on the last couple of weeks and all these amazing things that we can watch during the holidays.
Yes, I'm so glad that we actually have a lot. I was kind of concerned that we would have just, you know, reruns of stuff that we've already seen. But it's nice to have all this new stuff.
I agree. Really nice. Yeah, really, really nice. Well, all of you out there in Broadway Babies Land, we hope you are staying safe and healthy, and we wish you a really happy holiday season. We will be back in January. Oh my goodness. We're going to miss you so much, but thank you so much for tuning in and for coming on this journey with us. We appreciate you more than you will ever know.
Yes. Thank you, everyone. And have a wonderful holiday. Be safe. Be a light. Be a light in this world.
Absolutely. Be a light. That is the greatest. I love that. Be a light.
Be a light.
Yes. Thank you again so much, everybody. We love you so much. I'm Noelle Hannibal.
And I'm Stephanie Anderson.
And we'll see you in 2021. Yeah.
Yay! Bye.
Bye.